Today's daf in the Sechet Zvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Vav. This is a very big change from our past days. You know, we had people at pubs, we had people eating food, we had people with big mouths. But today it's great to be back to the child's room with poo. And today we're starting on the Mishnah, on Pei Hei Omid Beis. We finished the Mishnah before, yesterday, on Pei Daled, and that was about all of the things that Im Olu Yerdu. Now, let's have the continue of the Mishnah, of all of the things which even Im Olu Yerdu. So, Ve'elu, Im Olu Yerdu, because these are things that have nothing to do with Psul, they just are things that don't belong on the Mizbeach at all. So, that would be B'sar Kodshe Kodshim. The basar of Kodshei Kodshim are meant to be eaten by Kayanim. They're not meant to be put on the Mizbeach. Basar Kodshim Kalim, meant to be eaten by the owner, not to be put on the Mizbeach. Motar HaOmer, that is the Motar Ave Mincha, and it's meant to be eaten by Kohanim. The Shtei Alechem is not on the Mizbeach at all. It is Chametz, and it doesn't get anywhere near the Mizbeach. It is eaten also by the Kohanim. And the Lechem HaPonim, which is matzah, but it's Shiorei Menaches, and belongs to Kayanim. Where is the Kometz of the Lechem HaPonim? The Bezichei Levona, as we've explained. Essentially, it is an expanded mincha, in which the bread is the mincha, and the Kometz is the Levona that sits in the two special containers for Levona, one next to each part of the Shulchan. The Shiorei Menaches in general, all is meant to be off of the Mizbeach, unless, of course, it's talking about Minchas Kayanim, but then they're not Shirei. And the Ketoret. The Ketoret doesn't belong on the Mizbeach HaChitzein, and its place is only on the Mizbeach HaZahav. Now, there's also things which they're not really meant for the Mizbeach, but they unavoidably are part of korbanos that are put onto the Mizbeach. So those things, if they're still attached, they go on the Mizbeach. Now remember that an oila, even though we skin an oila, the hefshet of the oila is not done to the head of the oila. And therefore, the head, which is actually put on the Mizbeach, the head would include, of course, woolly on lambs, or hairy on goats. So tzemer sheberoshei kvasim, or seyar shebezekanti yashim. So goats have hair on their face, on their beard, so to speak. We call it zekan. And wool, the lambs have wool on their head. And then we have things that always come along with the rest of meat that is being put on the mizbeach. So we have bones. We have gidim. Remember, gidim is a general lashon. We use the word gidim nowadays in a more specific way, because we use it for actually a ligament. But in those days, gidim were anything that was like hard and sinewy. So that would even include blood vessels, you know, tendons, and even nerves, anything at all, veins, arteries. All of that would be included in gidim as a general term. And then we have karnayim and tafayim. So you have the hooves, the horns. All of these things are not really things that belong on the Mizbeach on their own, but they are part of Evorim that go on the Mizbeach, and therefore Bizman Chein Mechubarim. So if they're in their connected state to the Aver that's going to be brought up, so that Yalu, how do we know that you're not supposed to take them off before? Shneimar, remember at the beginning of Vayikra, it says, "Viktirbo, uchrav yichatz b'mayin, viktir hakohen et hakol hamizbecha, ola yishereach lichoach." It's hakol hamizbecha, every last bit. Now, every last bit sure sounds to me like you don't remove bones from inside the evarim that you're bringing up, and therefore, of course, we bring it up. On the other hand, if they're not connected any longer, perishu, then lo ya'alu. We'll see what we're talking about. Where were they perish? At what stage were they perish? But then they don't go up. Shenema ve'asita olotecha abasar v'adam. remember the pasuk that we brought that taught us that the basar and the dam, as long as there's dam, and that connects the basar and dam, when there's one, we can have the other. And that also tells me, only basar and dam. It doesn't say over there, v'yasita olotecha hakol. Seems to be a contradiction. And of course, this is the resolution, as our Mishnah, as the Gemara will point out. Tana Rabbanan. Here is the marker in the Braita and the Teras Kayanim of the drosha in the pasuk. V'iktir hakohen et hakol hamizbecha. What does hakol come to include? That includes rabot ha'atzamot v'agidim v'akarnayim v'atlafat. So that tells me everything that's part of the olam should be brought up. And it doesn't list here as many things as the Mishnah lists, but of course those things are included as well. The zakanat yashim and the tzemer hakvasim, all those things are included. What about yochal afilu pirshu? You might think, what if they had actually separated out? And we'll see what we're talking about a little bit later on. But what if they separated out? Then yochal afilu pirshu, they're brought up. Tamud lomar ve'asita olotecha habasar ve'hadam. Only basar v'dam. Really? So ibasar v'dam? So then maybe we shouldn't bring up these other things at all, and we should actually cut them out? Before we bring up the basar of the oila to the mizbeach, we should actually be bringing up only the meat. Take out everything else. Yocho yachalotz kidim v'atzamot v'yalev asar l'gabi mizbeach. Talmud lomar v'iktira kohen et hakol. You're supposed to bring up an entire piece of the animal, including the bones and the ginim and so on. Okay, so how do you explain these two psukim that contradict each other? One that says only abasar v'adam, one that says et hakol. Must be if they're mechubarim, so then ya'alu. If they were pirshu, even if they were pirshu, when they're already on top of the mizbeach, they should be yerdu, as long as they're not already on the fire of the mizbeach, as we're going to see later on. So now, let's figure out, first of all, because we know that there's big machlokas about how far we go on pirshu, yerdu, and so on. So our Mishnah is said by whom? Whose shita is this? Mantana, the shamat lady amar pirshu yerdu. Who is the Tana who holds that if the atzomites separated out, or if the hair separated out has come off of the Mizbeah, that is going according to Rebbe, as we're about to see, and it must be that this Braita in our Mishnah actually is going Aliba de Rebbe. So that if we analyze the way that we learned the Psukim, so then it seems to only work out like Rebbe. The Tanya. V'iktira kohen et hakol hamizbecha. This is similar to our Braita. L'rabot ha'atzamot v'agidim v'akarnayim v'atlafayim. And this would mean, even if they were pirshu. Ooh, wow. So then if that's the case, that you hold, even if they are separated from the actual basar, they should be put up. How do you explain the pasuk? Avyasita lotecha basar v'hadam. I thought, we had a contradiction here, and we resolved the contradiction by saying that not if they're pirshu. Ah, this Tana Kama holds that v'asita lotecha basar v'adam is there to tell me, ikulei ola atamachzir, v'i atamachzir, ikulei gidim v'atzamot. So what is that coming to tell me? That if pieces of the basar were popped off of the mizbeach, and they are not completely digested, but they're in the process of ikul. They are being digested, so to speak, as they're consumed by the mizbeach. You put them back up on the mizbeach. But when it comes to things that are not actually meat, they're gidim v'atzamot, iyata marzir ikulei gidim v'atzamot. You do not do a poking, you don't put them back up, if they're not actual meat. So this is clearly not the way that our Mishnah and our Braita learn, but Rebbe Omer, Rebbe actually presents it exactly as our Mishnah and Braita did. Katuv v'chad Omer v'iktir ha'kohen et ha'kol ha'mizbecha. So Kol is a total ribui, riba. And yet the other pasuk says, V'yasita olotecha oni habasar vehada miyed. Hakeitzat, so how do you explain this contradiction? Must be, as our Braita and Mishnah learn, b'chuborim ya'alu, if they're still connected, so then you bring them up even. But if they were pirshu, even if they were already on the Mizbeach, not on the Eish in the Mizbeach, as we'll see, but even if they're on top of the Mizbeach, Yerdu, that's Barosh HaMizbeach, that should be brought down, which means that our Braita was going according to Rebbe, because according to the Tanakhama, even if they were Pirshu, they're supposed to be Yalu, and the only din of Abasar V'Adam that is different than everything else, than Hakol, is Benogea Pokin Me'ala Eish. And therefore, according to this, they are just not put back on if they were already partially consumed by the Mizbeach. That was the Shita of the Tanakhama. So, let's take a look at Rebbe's Shita. So Rebbe said, Pirshu Yerdu. So then they have to be brought down from the Mizbeach. But where exactly were they Poresh to? We're not talking about Pokin over here. We're talking about that they were separated from the Basar. That was all that was important. So Omer Rebbe Zeira, well, you know what that means? It means that they were separated in a way that is indicative in terms of the graphics of what we see about the situation. The Basar is close to the fire of the Mizbeach. So it's close to the Ma'arach. And these things are Poresh, and they're sort of left behind, and they're towards the other side, away from the Ma'arach. That's what we're talking about. Lo shana la shipreshu klapei mata, they're going further away towards the bottom of the Mizbeach, so to speak. But if they were pirshu, towards the Ma'arach, ava klapei mala, so then that's not called a pirshu, that's called making them ready to be put on the fire. Kruvihu deakrivu l'yikud, that makes them even closer to being eaten, consumed by the Mizbeach. Does that make sense? Where did Rebbe Zeira get that from? Is Rebbe Zeira saying that just because they're closer, even if Pirshu? So then, did Rebbe say anything about a direction? Rebbe said, if they're Mechubar, they're brought, and if they're Pirshu, they're not brought. How would Rebbe Zeira make up this thing? Okay, it must be. He didn't say that. He was actually talking about something that he was medayik in Rebbe. So what he wanted to let us know is that Omar Rabba Hachikama, since it the Mashma'ut of Rebbe is that Yerdu, and remember that we have just managed to establish the difference of Lachmei Shel Mizbeach and the concept of Kodshei Hashem, which is Nogea Me'ila. Remember, so we went through that whole distinction that we had in the discussion with Rabbi Yochanan, and we came to understand that just because we take something off of the Mizbeach does not mean that it is necessarily no longer Kodshei Hashem. So we separated those two dinim. Something cannot be Kodshei Hashem and still be Lachmei Shel Mizbeach in the case that they have certain situations of Kodshei Galim. And here, when Rebbe Zeira saw what Rebbe said, that only if they're Pirshu Yerdu, he didn't say anything about there being no longer Chayev in Me'ila, did he? So clearly he holds that they're still called Kodshei Hashem. That's what Rebbe Zeira was talking about. Omar Rabba Hachikamar, when do we say that these things are Kodesh and they're still considered to be Ro'i for Me'ila if you're Nene from them? That was only if they were Pirshu la'achar zrika. So now, if they became torn apart from the actual Aver after the Zrikas Hadam, that's what Rebbe meant, that they were still considered to be Kachim, and you would still be Moel on them. But if they were even Poresh before the Zrika, then the Zrika actually is Matir them. Atai zrika v'shuretinu, afilu l'mevad minayokata desakine. you want to make yourself one of those beautiful, what was the name of that lady that makes those beautiful challah knives in Joburg? Forgot her name. Really fancy knives. You must be
Errol Boys.
Huh?
Errol Boys.
I never can hear what you're saying. But anyway, if anybody picked it up.
Carol Boys.
Yes. So if Carol wants to go ahead and make one of those fancy challah knives using either the atzamas or maybe the horns, you know, I mean, you can imagine the type of thing she does. I mean, yeah, you could actually use horns for that. So if she makes a challah knife out of that, that would be a perfectly valid use, because in the same way that when you do Zrika, there's parts that are kosher for the Kohanim after Zrika, right? So the same way that Zrika is matir the things that belong on the Mizbeach, so to be put on the Mizbeach, things that are meant not for the Mizbeach, let's say the or that was meant for the Kohanim. So you give the skin, the hide of the animal to the Kohanim. The Zrika is what's matir that. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Zera was saying. If they're still part of a piece of meat, then the Zrika was only matir them to be brought as on the Mizbeach, as part of that piece of meat. But if they were separated before the Zrika, then the Zrika is matir them for all usages, the same way that it's matir the skins for the Kohanim. In which case, you could have Carol making one of her challah knives out of it, you know? Kata, the sakina, the knife handle, would be made out of these atzamot. So now that, if Rab is explaining it that way, he's obviously going according to what Rabbi Yochanan said when he quoted Rabbi Yishmael, and he says, you know, we have a Gezeirah Shavah. The Gezeirah Shavah uses the words that are completely, as we'll see, unnecessary. V'hakohen ha-makriv et olat ish, or ha-ola asher hikriv la-kohen lo yihyeh. So, okay, we'll see why we consider the words lo yihyeh to be extra when they're put in the end of the pasuk like this, but it uses this strange word, it shall be his. But we find also those words of lo yihyeh in another place. And that was when it came to the dinim of the asham. So it says over there, kachatat ka'asham, Torah achat lahem, ha-kohen asher yechaper bo, lo yihyeh. So that means that the Kohen, he's the one that gets the basar of a chatas and an asham. Now, you have to look at the comparison that this Gezeirah Shavah is making us understand. Since it says lo yihyeh in the case of the or, and this is even of the ola, and it says lo yihyeh benogei the meat of the asham. So just like the asham, the atzamot obviously are given to the Kohanim along with the basar, so too the ola, if they're separated, are also given to the Kohanim. I mean, that's not very logical, you know. So I sure hope that the words are extra. Now remember, this is because of the concept of the dinim of Gezeirah Shavah, which is that if a Gezeirah Shavah is made only on the basis of the similarity of the language, then parchinan alav, you're able to ask that this is not logical, and therefore the Torah didn't mean us to learn this particular point out. However, if you can show me that the words that create the Gezeirah Shavah are not simply the same language, but that the Torah went out of its way to use language in a strange way, then that means, no, pay attention even if it's not logical. Now, the truth is that in other places, the Gemara's Michalik, between Mufna Mitzad Echad, I believe that this is an old Gavi magic wand concept, Mufna Mitzad Echad, or Mufna Mishneit Study, are both sides of the Gezeirah Shavah extra, and that's what necessary in order to make it stand up against our logic? Or even if it's only Mufna Mitzad Echad, we're Darshinan and we're not Porech on it. That's actually a machlokas. Here the Gemara, for some reason, is taking for granted that even Mufna Mitzad Echad is sufficient. So therefore, it says, I sure hope that the words lo yihyeh are Mufneh, because ilo Mufneh, If they're not just extra in which the Torah is going out of its way, I mean, obviously, I would say this is a very illogical thing to say. Ikala mifrach. I mean, obviously, if the bones are connected to the meat in the asham and the zrika has matered them, that's because the zrika is being matered all over, for heaven's sake. I mean, it's giving the meat to the Kohanim, so of course the Kohanim can use the bones and the meat for what they want. They can eat the meat, they can use the bones. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the case of the oila, I mean, over there, how can you compare it? The oil of the meat is supposed to be put up on the Mizbeach, so why would you say that it would be allowed to be used for the Kohanim? Says the Gemara, yes, yes, it definitely is mufna, because lo yiyeh actually is extra. All it needed to be to say would be or ha'olah sher hikriv la kohen. That's all. What do you mean, la kohen lo yiyeh? What's that extra piece, la kohen lo yiyeh? That's what you said, or la kohen. That means they were supposed to make the gzeirah shavah between ola and asham, even though we have no real logical way to compare it. Masiv Rav Ada bar Ahava. This was the way that Rabbah had explained Rabbi Zira, and Rav Ada bar Ahava shows that from the following braita, that does not make sense. Because the braita says, Atzmot kodeshim, lifnei zrika mo'alim behem, le'achar zrika ein mo'alim. So if you're talking about, as opposed to an ola, as we'll see in a moment. See, if you're talking about bones of kachim, which these are given to the person to eat, the Kohanim to eat, or the Baalim to eat in Kachikalim. But in Kachikachim, before Zrika, there's Me'ila, which is not true on Kachikalim. And even the Atzamot have Me'ila. And Le'achar Zrika, there's no Me'ila, because that's good for what it says about Lo Yiyeh, about the Chatat or the Asham, Lo Yiyeh. In which case, it can't be Me'ila once it becomes Mutter for the Kohen to use. What about an Oila? Oh, an Oila is always going to be Chayav Me'ila, because since the Basar was Aser, the Atzamas are also Aser. Now, the Braita doesn't say whether the Atzamas were Prushim, did they separate, or were they still connected? It's Mashma, that whatever it's talking about, they remain chayev in Me'ila because the Zrika is never going to be mater them for challah knives? No, not necessarily. What you have to say is v'shel oila, it depends. That's all. It depends. If pirshu. So shel oila, if they were pirshu lifnei Zrika, then the Zrika is mater them because now they're not part of the Aver. And so the same way it's mater the Or, it's matir the atzamais. But if there were pirshu only li'achar zrika, which meant that what did the zrika do for these bones? It was matir them to be put on the mizbeach. It was not matir them for kohanim. So therefore they remain chayev in me'ila forever. Malim la'olam. In which case, that's exactly what Rabbah said. You have nothing to ask on Rabbah. It actually would be supportive of Rabbah. Now, Lamaisa, not everybody agrees with Rabbah. Take a look at Rabbi Elazar, and you'll see he has a different approach. Upliga the Rabbi Elazar. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, he was talking about the Atzamot Ola, and he said, if they were Pirshulif Nezrika, then since at the time of Zrika, you were unable to put them on the Mizbeach, the Zrika doesn't help them at all. And Adarabba, they're always going to be Chayev Ame'ila. But if they were Pirshu Le'achar Zrika, once the Zrika came along and was Matir them to be put onto the Mizbeah, so at that point, it takes off its din of being Kodesh Kodesh Hashem. And the thing is, though, that even though there's a Gezerah Shavah, that is only, that Gezerah Shavah about the Asham is only in a case where it is like the Asham. Where is it like the Asham? It's like the Arsham when you have Atzamot, and specifically, and the whole basis of it was the fact that it's the together with the Arsham. So then, if like the Arsham, they're similar to the Arsham because now they are after Zrika and they're no longer part of the Aver because they were Poresh. So then, since the Zrika of an Arsham works on the Aver as a whole, including the meat and the bones, all of which, of course, are mutar l'kohanim. And we can't compare that to the Eila unless the Zrika is also dealing with those atzamos at the same time that it's dealing with the basar. So therefore, if the atzamos are still part of the Aver that you're putting on the Mizbeach, once you did the Zrika, that Zrika was matir them for the Mizbeach. Now, it takes off the Isser of Me'ila at that point because it allows them to be Shayach to the Mizbeach. So once it does that, if they're no longer attached, then they're similar to the Atzamas of the Asham. But if they were attached, if they were not attached at the time of the Zrika, what does the Zrika have to do with them? The Zrika was there only for putting things on the Mizbeach. And therefore would be the exact opposite of the way Rabbah understood it. So the truth is that it would be chayev in Me'ila only before the Zrika. But over here, the Rabbanan asserted it, Li'achar Zrika, if they were perish, so then you don't actually become chayev in a korban Me'ila, but the Rabbanan always made them asser, and therefore there's never any time where you could make a challah handle, a challah knife handle, out of them, according to Rabbi Elazar, at all. Doesn't matter when they were Purish. And that brings us to the cameo performance of our dear Sir Richard. So, we've been talking about actual Ivorim that became detached, but they're still on the Mizbeach. Now, let's talk about Pokin. So remember that Pokin are pop-offs, where because of the heat that's in the fire, which can occur in a regular barbecue also, you suddenly get a release of steam and the piece is propelled off of the Mizbeach completely. So all of these things that we were talking about, it was a question of whether they're burned together, but that's only if they didn't pop off of the Mizbeach completely. But kulan shepaku me'al agabe ha-Mizbeach, then lo yachzir. If they've been completely, so this would mean whether we're talking about the imurim of Karbanos Psulim that were im olu, lo yerdu, or all the cases in this mission of things that were not ro'ui for the Mizbeach because they're not really edibles. Like the atzomes, gidim, tlafayim, and so on. So those things you don't have to bring up. And in this case where they popped off, so then it's not usher to put them up because remember, Ula said before that once they started burning, then they're nase lachmei shel mizbeach, and it's mutter to put them up. You're just not mechuyev to put them up. So the same thing would be true of a gachela shepakar me'al gabei hamizbeach. If you have a burning piece of coal, and we'll see what it consists of later on, but here we're talking about a piece of the wood that was completely carbonized, that was on the Mizbeach. Remember, we put wood, and that's the special gift of the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, together with the Ma'arocha, the Atzeah Ma'arocha. Those things turn into charcoal, and it doesn't have to be put back on the Mizbeach, but Evarim, Mashenkin, if you have meat that is charred, and it was Pakum Me'al Gabei Mizbeach, it depends. If it was Kodem Chatzot, Yachazir. If it was before Chatzot, they have to be put onto the Mizbeach again. And since there still need to be completed to have their consumption on the Mizbeach, if you use them for anything else, then Me'alin Bahem. But once it's already Chatzot, you don't put them back up. lo yachzir means you don't have to put them back up, and if you use them, they are actually not going to be mechayev you for me'ila. Why? Because of the klal, which is somewhere a gavi klal who's hiding here. There we go. And take out that magic wand. Ein lecha davar shenaseh mitzvato shemo'alim bo. There's no such thing as me'ila on something where the mitzvah was already mekuyam. Now, this is very strange, because nowhere does the Torah say anything about chatzot. I mean, what in the world is this talking about? Chatzot, I mean, yeah, we have a din about the Korban Pesach, about the achila of the Korban Pesach. I mean, where do we get the idea that a vorim are only put on the Mizbeach up until chatzot? I mean, that's certainly not true. And how would that be considered to be nasa mitzvasei? If it isn't completely consumed, how could it be nasa mitzvasei? Either it is consumed or not consumed. How could chatzot be the issue? Okay, this we're going to see in the Gemara. Now, another thing that you have to know is that this whole halacha that we had about the Mizbeach, kima cha'olu lo yerdu, remember that was based on the pasuk of Kol HaNogea Mizbeach Yigdash. It wasn't a din in the Hakrava, it was a din in the Mizbeach. But you should know that that halacha is not only the fire on the Mizbeach, or the body of the Mizbeach, it's on anything that's part of the Mizbeach. And therefore, if any of these things were put on, you think it's only on the fire? No. It would be even Al Rosh HaMizbeach. You think it has to be Al Rosh HaMizbeach where the fire is? No. It could be on the Sovev of the Mizbeach. It could be on the base of the Mizbeach, on the Yesod, and it can even be on the Kevesh going up to the Mizbeach. The ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach is also going to be Mekadesh, those things that are roi for the Mizbeach, surprisingly. So it's an extension of the actual body of the Mizbeach. And Kishem Shah Mizbeach Mekadesh et Ra'uilo, Kacha Kevesh Mekadesh, and therefore, once we have things put onto the Kevesh, you can then take them from the Kevesh up to the Mizbeach, even though they haven't actually been put on the Mizbeach proper. It's considered to be Kivan Sha'alu. But they weren't Alu. They were Alu on the Kevesh, and that's sufficient. Furthermore, the bigger Kiddush is that Kishem Sha'am Mizbeach Va'akevesh Mikachin et Ra'ui Lahem Kach HaKelim Mikachim. That means that Kli Sharet have the same power of making something Kodesh. Now, whether that means literally to make them Kodesh, that then if they're put on the Mizbeach, they remain, that we'll see how much is meant over here by allowing them to say that they're Kodesh. Whether it literally means the same, that's not so pashut. Okay, Alon, you may have noticed that I have penetrated into your screen. My shirt is now above your window. Move back and stop hiding it. Move back into your circle. See? There you go. We got one straight line going from my shirt down into your screen. I warned you that I would just pop in one day. Let's take a look at the Gemara. So.
Which alone?
Gary alone.
Not me.
You don't have a top window. Okay. So now the question is, where in the world did this idea of chatzot come from? Whoever heard of chatzot as being a time that is koveya, whether nase mitzvase or not nase mitzvase? What gives you the idea that it's hechidami? I mean, explain what the case is. Is there still meat to burn? So if there's still meat to burn, it wasn't nase mitzvase. Why don't you have to put it back on? How do you call that nase mitzvase? And if there's no meat to burn, so then what does it have to do with chatzot? You burnt everything, then it was nase mitzvase. So make up your mind. Either eat bu mamash, if there's something left in it that needs to be burned, afilu liyach chatzot. I can't suddenly say I don't need to put it on the mizbeach just because it's chatzot. And if there's nothing left to burn, why isn't it nase mitzvase before I finish burning it? There's no me'ila. What does this mean even? Answers the Gemara, there is a middle point to this. What is that middle point? We're talking about shiriri. Now, that means there's two levels. There's nothing that needs to be burned because the meat has already become hard like wood, but it's not charcoal. It's not ash. So on the one hand, the Torah talks about Trumas HaDeshen. That's ash. So that's one level. Then we have the other idea of basar, to put your basar v'adam. Well, I did. I finished up the basar. So when you're in this intermediate stage, that you haven't yet completed things to the point where you'll be able to be merim as hadeshen, at least according to Emoshitas, but it's already completely burned, there you have chatzot being the defining moment. But where would that come from? Minani mile. Says Rav, look, take a look at the psuk, and I'm not going to quote you actual words in the pasuk, says Rav. I'm going to quote the idea, okay? So what's the idea in Tzav? He ha'ola almok, one of our favorite psukim here. We've been looking at this pasuk again and again and again this over the past 10 days. He ha'ola almokda al hamizbeach kol ha'layla arabokas. What is that telling you? It's telling you that kol ha'layla is the time that it's almokda. And then, what does it say in the next pasuk? The velavash hakohen midobad ve'irim et hadeshen. So on the one hand, we've got this kol halayla bringing us to ve'irim et hadeshen. So, I mean, that means, on the one hand, the pasuk is saying, hi olam mokda kol halayla ad haboker. Okay, so that means the entire layla ad haboker is the time to burn it, to leave it al mokda. But the other pasuk essentially says, kol halayla ad haboker vilavasha kohen midobad, which is talking about the trumas hadeshen, and that means that we do sometime in the middle of the night, and it doesn't say yet that he should put on vilavash baboker, so it's mashma that kol halayla is also needed for the moment of Eirim et Hadeshen. So in other words, there's a moment, and we'll see that we learned this out from a more specific limud in the pasuk. So it's telling me that I can do the Trumas Hadeshen during the night. So if I can do the Trumas Hadeshen, I can also do the Hakrava. So what is the night actually for? So the mashmaut is that once you've actually gotten the meat to the point that it no longer needs hakrava, so then it's no longer part of needing to be the atzias hamitzvah. And if it popped off of the mizbeach, you don't have to put it there. So therefore, it must be telling me, chalkeu, what you should do is you should split the night into two. Chatzot, chetziola hakdara, v'chetziola rama. So what it says is, if it's still before chatzot, then kol halayla v'hiktir. Even though this is as hard as wood, but it isn't yet deshen, so put it back on until it becomes deshen, even if it popped off. But after chatzot, at that point, it's considered to be ma'aseh mitzvasa, in which case it's already considered to be me'ukal. According to Rashi, that means that they are literally considered to be deshen. In other words, the Torah gives them a din of deshen, and you could even use these not yet charcoal pieces of meat, you could use them for Trumas HaDeshen. Tosfos says, no, for Trumas HaDeshen, it has to be like the Gemara said before, the Mishnah said, minamu ukalot apnimiot. You need to have a real, complete ash. That's deshen. We're only talking about over here, legabe the din of poking, that we view them as not mitzvosa. We're certainly not saying that they're literally deshen. Okay, but the point is that we understand that the pasuk is forcing us to essentially split the night. Masi Rav Kahana, how can actually Rav say that that is the drasha? Take a look at the Mishnah in Yoma. Bechol yom torim et hamizbeach mikrot hagever o samuch lo milefanav o miacharav. So every day they used to take off the Trumas HaDeshen at the time of the Krota Geva. Remember, that was the question, whether that's the Gvini Cruz or whether the person went around waking up the Kohanim, or it means Geva in the sense of the Tarnagol is in our Bracha. A little bit before, a little bit after, but it is around that time. But on Yom HaKippurim, then you do the Trumas HaDashen at Chatzot. And then on the Regolim, we have a lot of people, then you go back all the way to the end of the first Hashmara, which the Machlokas has, an Hashmara, a fourth of the night, a third of the night. So these are different times. But you just told me, Rav, that we learn it out of the Pasuk of Kol HaLaila for the Hakrava, Al Mogda Kol HaLaila, and we learn it out of Kol HaLaila Vehirim. So, I mean, if that's a Diraisa, which is what you're claiming, Yisak Adaita, Mechatzot is Diraita, so I don't understand. So how are we allowed to, just because it's busy? So there's a lot of people that are there, and the Azorah, as we'll see, becomes full of Yisrael. So because of that, we're going to change the Din D'oraisa. We don't have a right to do that. So how can we be makdim it before Chatzot? And the truth is, it would be nogeya the other way also. Since Zrizim are makdim in l'mitzvah, why don't we do it right away on Chatzot? And why are we me'acharim b'chol yom to wait until Krot HaGever? Some don't have that girsa. Because, obviously, there's a difference between Zrizim Makdimin to use as a kasha or the actual violation. Zrizim Makdimin is nice, but you can't say, you know, it's going to wreck things. But, I mean, to do it wrong and to actually be Makdim, Shalok Halacha, that I certainly am going to ask. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, it's a diak in the Pasuk that tells us that it's not a tipping point. Because if the Torah said, Amogda kol halayla. How do you explain the words ad haboker? I mean, isn't the whole night till the morning sort of by definition? So saying all night long till the morning, it's like, what's the point? Ini odeja ad haboker. What's this business? Mata mudlomar kol halayla ad haboker. Ah, that's telling me. Give it a new morning. It means to say, Tain Boker la Boker al Shalaila. There's the obvious morning of the night, which is when the sun rises. But here it's saying, make a time even before then to make sure that you do the Trumas HaDeshen, and that Trumas HaDeshen should be finished by the time the real morning comes along. But it leaves it up to you, as the Chachamim doesn't say what that time is supposed to be. It isn't a question of a compromise between two Kol HaLailas, and therefore we need to split it evenly into Chatzot. It just is saying to be Magdim. So, Yilkach, the Chachamim said, look, let's apply logic to the situation. If you can finish by the morning, so it's a regular day, so b'chol yom, kol yuma, it's enough time for us to complete the preparation of the Mizbeach for the next day's work from Krot HaGever. Because it doesn't take so long to do this. On Yom Kippur, we have a problem. Because on Yom Kippur, the poor Kohen Gadol is in a very tough situation. He's fasting. He has to do everything all on his own. We want him to be able to do as much as he can, as early as possible, before he starts feeling faint and weak. And remember, we kept him up all night also. I mean, he's got a very tough situation. So on Yom Kippur, because of the chulsha of the Kohen Gadol, so we say, okay, let's start earlier so that what? Now, this is actually a machlokas rishonim. Does the Kohen Gadol, who has to do all of the Aveda, does that include the Aveda of the Trumas HaDeshen? Or can the Trumas HaDeshen, that's not considered to be Avedas Yom HaKippurim? And that is a sheet of one of the Balei HaTosfos, the Riva, who says the din that the Kohen Gadol does everything himself does not refer to the Trumas HaDeshen, because it's only the Avedas HaYom. The other Rishonim hold that everything that's done that day is done by the Kohen Gadol. So according to them, it's obvious that we want the Kohen Gadol to do this job while he's still at the peak of his strength. But even according to the Riva, it's not a problem, because we want the Kohen Gadol to be able to start the Aveda as early as possible. And therefore, we want to make sure that there's no delay because the Mizbeach wasn't ready yet for the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, so we do everything from Chatzot. On the Regalim, oh my gosh, over there, you could have millions of Karbonas. Now, if you're going to have millions of Karbonas, you've got a number of issues that are going to be troublesome. First of all, we did not want to take off all of the ashes. Remember, the Trumas HaDeshen is one shovel full. It's a din in Truma, and it's put actually next to the Mizbeach by the Kevesh, right? After that, if there's a lot of ash on the Mizbeach, you're going to have to remove the ashes from the Mizbeach, take them out and put them in the Beit HaDeshen that's outside of the Machane. But there's also the concept of Tapuach. And you'll remember that Lashon, Tapuach HaYasham Lefamim Ayubo, even Shalash Mea Iskur, which may be an exaggeration, which Shalash Mea always is, but it means that for the covet of the Mizbeach, and to show people the immense number of karbonis that were brought, what they would do is they would rake up the ashes and make a beautiful kadur of it in the middle of the Mizbeach, and then they would burn on the area that was cleared off, they would burn the karbonis. Now, that took some time. And because of that, if you're talking about hundreds of thousands of karbonis and all of that ash that has to be raked, that takes a long time. So because of that, since you had people pouring in and you were also going to have to bring thousands and thousands of extra karbonis today, you can't bring any karbonis before you finish the Avodah of the Tomei Shachar, remember? So that means, oh my gosh, you've got to rush things as quickly as possible. So you need extra time to do the tapuach. You need extra time to make sure that at the first possible moment that you could bring the Ola Shel Boker, that will give you more time to be able to bring the extra karbonis between that and the time that you bring the Tamei Ben Arbaim. So you have that pressure. Plus, you have the pressure of an immense number of people there, which makes moving around complicated, more difficult. Wherever there's traffic, there's problems. Put it all together, and the earlier you get on the highway to Tel Aviv, the more your chances are to arrive. Same thing is true over here. The earlier you start that Avodas Hayom, when there's a lot of traffic, it's better. Your chances are better for completing it. So therefore, Regalim, the Nefishi Karbonot, because then it says that people used to come already from the Ashmora Arishona, Kriptani Sefer. That's why the Mishnah over there in Yoma says it. Lo haita kriyata gever magada chaita azara meleyami Yisrael. We can't wait for the Krota Gever. By the time the Krota Gever comes, there's like 100,000 people milling about. Good heavens. Are you going to get anything done at that point? So because of that, we're mocked him because the Torah didn't demand a particular time. It just said, Tein Boker, Le Boker Shel Laila.